morning and welcome to this worship service closing this Lent symposium. You should all have a copy of the ELW and also this little half sheet of paper which has the order of the service. The liturgy today is one that Vicki did at her congregation with her youth using the resources in the ELW. So there'll be a little flipping around here and there today, but check it out. She suggested that for the hymn of praise and Kyrie, you might want to keep your finger in 531 while you're singing the Kyrie in 151 to make that transition a little more smooth. Yeah, so this makes it additionally cool. So we thank the youth of Good Shepherd in Olympia. But also, we've had an opportunity at the end of each session to thank our speaking presenters, but we also want to thank Vicki for her music during this conference. It's been wonderful. Thank you. She's been gracious, flexible, and imaginative in the best Holden style. Thank you. And used lots of wonderful resources. Today, we remember St. Matthew, Apostle and Evangelist. His feast day is September 21, but it being a major feast day, we're still in the octave. And the texts assigned for St. Matthew are great ones as we think about turning the church inside out. We begin with Confession and Forgiveness on page 94. We begin at the font. Please stand as you are able.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
We'll have our call to worship now. You may be seated.
Te Deo,
Te
Deo,
Te Deo, Te Deo, Te Deo, Te Deo,
Te Deo,
Te Deo,
Te Deo,
Te Deo,
Te Deo,
Te Deo,
Te Deo,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, called a despised tax collector to become one of his apostles. Help us, like Matthew, to respond to the transforming call of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
First reading is from Ezekiel, beginning at the second chapter. You, mortal, hear what I have to say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. I looked, and a hand was stretched out to me, and a written scroll was in it. The Lord spread it before me. It had writing on the front and on the back, and written on it were words of lamentation and mourning and woe. The Lord said to me, O mortal, eat what I have offered to you. Eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and the Lord gave me the scroll to eat. The Lord said to me, mortal, eat this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and in my mouth it was as sweet as honey. The Lord said to me, mortal, go to the house of Israel and speak my very words to them. For you are not sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I send you to them, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. See, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads, like the hardest stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not fear them or be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. The Lord said to me, Mortal, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear them in your ears. Then go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them. Say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear.
The psalm is 119, and we'll read it responsively by verse. You can find it in the front part of your hymnal. We begin at the 33rd verse and read to the 40th verse. And I'll begin, and you can read the even numbered. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep your teaching. I shall keep it with all my heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire.
Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to unjust gain.
Turn my eyes from beholding falsehood. Give me life in your way.
Fulfill your promise to your servant, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good.
Behold, I long for your commandments, by your righteousness enlighten me.
Second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. With Christ, God raised us up and enthroned us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come might be shown the immeasurable riches of God's grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, Follow me. And he got up and followed him. And as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, Many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us safely to the beginning of this day. Like the dawn, you illumine the world around us, and your mercies are new every morning. By the power of the Holy Spirit, be with us in all we say or think, in all we do, this and every day. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God's grace and peace be with you this day and always. Amen. Amen. I always think that if I just get organized, I'll be able to achieve great things. And that even if we all got organized together, we could really go places in the church. Now, I actually am pretty organized. But getting organized is also my default setting when things get messy or difficult, when I'm uncertain about my direction, when the demands of ministry seem too much for any gifts I might have. So I'll clean my desk drawers, clean the inbox on my computer, sort a box of stuff that's been sitting around in the attic for years. When things get really bad, I used to always clean out the refrigerator. These days, if my husband comes into the kitchen and sees a pile of dead cheese on the kitchen counter, I have to assure him that I really am just cleaning out the refrigerator because it needs it, and that there aren't any stressful emotional issues going on. But don't you think that if we just take all the things that we've learned about these days here at Holden and get organized about them, we'd really be able to turn the church inside out? Today we all go back to our various jobs and ministries. The financial difficulties will still be there. The cranky congregational member will still be cranky. People will be sick, and some will have died. Some will have lost jobs, and some will have lost relationships. And we'll wonder if we really have the gifts for the ministries to which God has called us. And for those of us who are preachers, we have work to do through finding the word, the good news, one more week in the context of text and community. And what do we find as good news with Moses so frustrated with the people in the wilderness that he wishes he were dead? And Jesus talking about cutting off arms and ripping out eyes. And yet one more reading from James. How many of us are even ready? Given the numbers of you that were in Koinonia Fireside this morning, I don't think I'll ask for a show of hands. I know Wayne Backus is ready. He's been ready for 6 weeks. And Ron Molvita's probably ready unless Ann Hall is preaching. But they're particularly organized about this task. But for many of us, we'll be working into Sunday, looking for the key that unlocks the gospel for us and for our people. We'll be sitting at a blank computer screen or in front of an unfilled page. That's the preacher's wilderness without words. And personally, I'm waiting for the computer, where all you have to do is lean your head against the screen, and it sucks in everything you're thinking. You know, and then you just have to edit it. I think that probably will happen at some point. I'm looking forward to it. So I think God had the right idea for preachers when God asked Ezekiel to eat that scroll. If the word really gets into us, into our minds and hearts and even our body, maybe then we'll be able to speak that clear word that everyone needs to hear, that good news that will finally change everything, that new articulation of gospel that will turn the church inside out. You heard the weird and wonderful story of Ezekiel's call. And it is a particularly good thing that God put words of lamentation and mourning and woe on the scroll that he had Ezekiel eat. And it is remarkable on Ezekiel's part that a scroll with that kind of writing in his mouth was as sweet as honey. The paradox of God's grace was present in God's people of old. And then God says a wonderful thing to Ezekiel. He says, I'm not sending you to a people of obscure speech and difficult language. I'm sending you to people that speak your own language. And you're supposed to take these words and tell them about it. And I think maybe they might listen to you. They haven't listened to me. But you can give it a shot. You know? He says, receive what I speak to you in your heart and hear with your ears. Then go to your people and speak to them. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. So Ezekiel gets the gift of speech and is called to speak that word whether or not anyone is hearing it. Weird and strange Ezekiel, the priest and prophet who goes with the people from destruction to exile, and whose visions and dreams are set as signs of hope and promise for a people who have entered a new wilderness of strange speech and the seeming absence of God. In the midst of harsh words of judgment as Jerusalem is destroyed, Ezekiel still assures his hearers of the abiding presence of God among them and understands in a new way for a prophet of God's people of old the integrity of the individual and each one's personal responsibility before God. This text was read in our midst as we remember Matthew, the one who will give us preaching from Jesus that shapes the church's life, even in the constitutions of the ELCA. His call from tax collector to follower is as remarkable as any healing in the gospel. The one who will be called despised takes Matthew from his despicable role in his culture and publicly calls him righteous. What a proclamation of good news. It is the good news of the cross, the good news of Jesus taking all our sin and weakness, all our silence and our failures, and turning it all around so that we might be righteousness and strength, and we might have words that, like Ezekiel, bring hope and promise to our own needy communities and to us. And Matthew will proclaim Jesus in blessing and promise, in forgiveness, and in the faithful commitment of God who is present with us until the close of the age. We've talked these days about articulating this gospel in a culture that often despises us. The reading from Ephesians reminds us of the gifts that we share. God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of work, so that no one may boast. It is a great privilege and joy for those of us who have the gift and responsibility to proclaim this paradox, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that one gift that God gave us makes it possible for us to live out the love of God in the world wherever we are and to encourage our communities of faith to be places of hospitality and justice, of worship and compassion, of comfort and joy. So on this day when we remember Matthew and his proclamation of his call to follow Jesus and his proclamation of good news in Jesus Christ, in his gospel, I see to take from this day, though, the witness and model of Ezekiel, weird and wonderful Ezekiel. You might want to go home and try that forehead thing with the cranky person. But think more of Ezekiel, who later would look at a valley of dry bones, which sometimes we look at our congregations and see, and will be brought into them with a gift of new life and new breath and new words all the time being asked, Son of Man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you know. I don't know. You know. Can they? Yes. The word is yes. And if you read further in Ezekiel and read chapter 47, you will hear about a great river of life that will pour from the temple in Jerusalem. It will not live there, but will pour out into a great and mighty river. The vision is a great one. Ezekiel is shown just a little tiny bit of water, which then becomes ankle deep, which then becomes knee deep, which then becomes deep enough to swim in, and then is such a big rushing river that it cannot even be attempted. In 2005, the women of the ELCA had a convention in San Antonio, and I was privileged to go with some women from my congregation. The preacher at the last worship was Bishop Vashti Murphy McKenzie, who was the presiding bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. She preached from Ezekiel 47, and she talked about rivers and reservoirs. She said the church is like a reservoir. It contains a life-supporting sustenance where people come to drink from the fountain that never runs dry. But she says a reservoir only contains, but a river flows. A river always includes a fresh supply. It will always seek its own space. Where the river flows, there will always be life. So God, in this vision Ezekiel has, provides living water from the temple. And the temple, then, she said, is the starting point, not the staying point. The river seeks to fulfill the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations, as Matthew would tell us. The temple is the community. The river is the community's mission. And you need both in order to get somewhere. She concluded by saying the river is about movement, action, and change. Now it's time to take some action. The river will always take you to places you've never been before, to do things you've never done before. The river is a mandate of God. It transforms the land beyond the temple, beyond expectation. The river will never take you where you want to go, but where you need to go. The river will take you to a place that won't bless you back. God gave us the river. We must be part of the river. God needs the river to flow out of the temple. The temple, the church, is turned inside out so the river can flow out into the world and to show that God lives among God's people. Today we come to this table and we are invited by Christ to eat the word that is his body and blood. And this little bit of bread and little sip of wine is the best feast ever. It is as sweet as the scroll God gave Ezekiel, this taste of the word made flesh. Take and eat and drink. Be restored for your ministry among God's people. Live out the word that has been given in you to turn the world around and the church inside out. Amen. Amen. The hymn is 580. 580, please stand.
Let us pray. Lord of creation, with confidence in your abiding care, we are bold to pray for the world, the church, and all in need. Caring God, we thank you for your gifts in creation, for our world, for this land, this valley, its beauty and its resources, for the rich heritage that we enjoy. We pray for those who make decisions about the earth, that we may use your gifts responsibly, for those who work on the land and sea, in city and in industry, that all may enjoy the fruits of their labors and marvel at your creation. For artists, scientists, and visionaries, that through their work we may see creation afresh. Gracious God, we thank you for giving us life, for all who enrich our experience. We pray for all who, through their own and others' actions, are deprived of fullness of life, for prisoners, refugees, those with physical limitations, and all who are sick. We pray for those in politics, medical science, social and relief work, and for your church, for all who seek to bring life to others. Gracious God. And we give thanks for this village. We pray that our hospitality, hilarity, and your grace may transform and sustain all who visit here. Gracious God. Now, what else do the people of God pray? And we remember with thanksgiving those who have died in Christ, especially our brothers Charlie, John, Roger, and all whom we name in our hearts and on our lips. Now we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age. Gracious God. Blessed are you, O God of growth and discovery. Yours is the inspiration that has altered and changed our lives. Yours is the power that has brought us to new dangers and opportunities. Set us, your new creation, to walk through this new world, watching and learning, loving you and trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
At Holden, we take an offering at Eucharist that goes away from the village. The three ministries to which the offering is going are listed on the in the back corner by the door. But it all goes to ministries out of the village.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Honor and worship are indeed your due, O Lord and our Lord and God, through Jesus Christ, for you created all things. By your will they were created, and for your glory they have their being. Therefore, with people of every nation, tribe, and language, with the whole church on earth and in heaven, joyfully we give you thanks and say, glory and honor to you, God of grace, for you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, once for all on the cross. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, in this sacrament, we now celebrate the wonder of your grace, and we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Redeemer God, rich in mercy, infinite in goodness, we were far off until you brought us near, and our hands are empty until you fill them. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, through the power of your Holy Spirit, fill us with your heavenly food. Renew us in your service, unite us in Christ, and bring us into the arms of your welcome. From you and through you and for you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
We pray now our family prayer, and please say it in whatever words are most familiar and comforting to you.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread,
This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all is prepared.
Take away the sin of the world.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Most loving God, Creator and Redeemer, we give you thanks for this foretaste of your glory. Through Christ and with all your saints, we offer ourselves and our lives to your service. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to stand with you in your world. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the servant, our friend and brother.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Angels are rulers, marked as in the present, nor any child. go in peace.
Dance and serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.